When my grandkids aren't making any noise, I'm getting a little concerned. You know what I'm saying? You know, you think, what are them guys getting into? You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. You guys have a good week? Praise the Lord, yeah? Okay, praise the Lord. Well, and the word quotes the words of a song. I'm here to tell you to keep on keeping on. All right? Been kind of an interesting week for me. I've had a lot of interest. Been the last month has been really, really interesting for me. And I'll share a little bit of that with you. But I just realized that tomb, that thing's empty. 2,000 years later, it's still empty. Our Lord and Savior rose from the dead. We celebrate life. He rose from the dead. You understand what that means? You ever seen anybody do that before? No, I never did. That's pretty amazing to me. He rose from the dead. And he didn't only just do that. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, saying, you know what? Father, I paid the price for them. They're mine. Isn't that awesome? Good to know. Huh? You guys aren't very excited this morning. let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's just see where this is going to go. Oh, Father, we humbly come before your throne. Father, we're looking to you. Our eyes are focused on you. Our hearts are focused on you. Our minds are focused on you. Father, we need to understand that you are God. You are so awesome. And we are so minuscule in your sight. But you love us, each and every one. Father, I praise you for that. Thank you. I love you this morning, Father. Be with me. Let me get out of the way. I want you to say what you want to say. Your will. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We love you. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Some of you guys know my job changed a little bit. I've had some very interesting weeks. I had a couple guys take a swing at me before. Things going really rough. I mean, bad. People giving me a hard time. Getting blamed for a lot of things, you know. Because when you come into some place and it's a mess, everybody's going to blame you. You're the guy. Okay, so and that's cool. So then you go through all that, and it's just the physical part of it, and the 70 hours a week, and all the stuff that goes with that, you know. And it's just a lot, right? And then you have a situation where someone you really love and care for really literally breaks your heart. You ever have your heart broken?
Yes.
It hurt? Yeah. And you know, in all of that, you're thinking, man, you know what I'm saying? You're thinking, where's the Lord in all this? What's really bad is I've been preaching on troubles and trials here for a long time. And you know what? You got to live it. You got to live it. You got to live it to preach it. You got to live it. I think God's got to see this is what it's all about. You know? And then I start thinking, woe is me. Woe is me. You ever had that problem? You guys never. Woe is me. No? And I thought, you know, No. I wake up in the morning, I got this song. I'm here to tell you to keep on keeping on. I thought, really? That's what you want? Yeah. I'm here to tell you God's going to make you strong. I'm like, really? That's what you're telling me? Yeah. And I thought, yes! Yes! Huh? And I think, okay. And I'm trying to think of a sermon. I'm thinking, okay. And I gave you the title, Sovereignty and Providence. You know what sovereignty means? I was thinking about that. Sovereignty, and I give you the dictionary, it means being above all others, supreme and greatest in importance. Do you know God is sovereign over the earth? You look at the news and look how ugly it is. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff going on, right? And I'm thinking, where you at, God? What you doing? What you doing? You know? God created it. Genesis 1:1, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, the whole first chapter of Genesis, God just speaks it, and it comes into being. He took a big old mud puddle of goo and made the earth. And he spoke it, and all the planets just, they're there. And then he said, let there be light, all these billions of stars. No, I fit the numbers, trillion, quadzillion, and there's numbers I can't even tell you. It's like 1,000 zeros behind them. They don't even know how many's out there. And God just said, "Let there be light." You know what I mean? I'm thinking, that's the power of God. He put this earth into motion. He created it. That's what it means by being sovereign. He created it. He can rule over it, right? It's under His control. It'd be like you coming to my house and saying, "You know what, Matt? I don't like your furniture. It's ugly. I don't like the carpet. Why is all the stuff on the walls, these pictures? What's that all about? And you know what? Your kitchen. I don't like the utensils. This is some stuff in here I don't like. You know what I mean? I just don't like it. And your workshop. All them tools, they're just stupid. Why do you got all that stuff?" What would your answer be? You know, until you start paying the bills around here, I don't think you got nothing to say. Huh? And I think that's what we question God. God, why? 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 And He's like, "Dude, I put this thing in. I'm here. I am still here. Even in the midst of all the stupidity, I'm still here." I believe that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is here so strong. If it wasn't, you know what this world would be like? Wow. It'd be total chaos. You think it's bad now? The Bible tells us it's got to get worse.
What?
It says it's got to get worse. Isn't that something? So, providence. Providence means having foresight, forethought, or caring for the future. Because God is sovereign, He created it all, He made it all, He spoke it all, He made you just the way you are. Isn't that great? When you look in the mirror and think, "Why did you make me like this, God? Why?" You ever do that? Huh? Why? Huh? You ever cry about it? Huh? Nah. I don't have any mirrors in my house because I know that I don't want to look in them things. You know what I'm saying? Huh? I don't want to see what's in there. But because God created it all, He's in charge of it all, His will be done in it all. And then He has the foresight, the providence, to look down the road at your life. What's going on in your life today? You know, I've come to the conclusion, there's nothing, no problem in your life that doesn't trickle through the fingers of God. Huh? Why? 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 When something bad happens to you, we always ask the question, right? Why? Mm-hmm. Right? We all do. Why don't you go to Psalms 103? We're going to get there eventually. Psalms 24:1 says it's all the Lord's. He made the heaven and earth, and He made all of us that live on it. It's all His. It's His. He has total control over it. Total. We're going to Psalms 103. There's a really cute little thing. I kind of chuckled at it. There was a cowboy said he was applying for life insurance, health insurance, life insurance. And the person asked, he said, "Have you had any accidents in your life?" He said, No, I never had an accident. Got bit by a rattlesnake once, and I got kicked in the ribs by a horse. Laid me up for a little bit. But he said, "No, I didn't have any." He goes, "Aren't them accidents?" He said, "No, they did it to me on purpose." Huh? They did it to him. Isn't that the way we got to look? It says it happens to us for a purpose. We've been studying Sunday school. Oh gosh, purpose-driven life. This is really neat stuff, guys. You have a purpose in your life. We ain't got there yet, have we, Les? We're working on it. We're getting, we're staging it. Right now we're talking about how important the Bible is to you. This book, do you believe it? I've asked the question before. Do you believe it? When someone does something and they've got it out for you, and you can say, "You know what, Lord? Your word tells me that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I'm going to stand on that word. I'm going to stand on that. And I don't care what that person does. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to stand on that word." And then not to say sometimes you wouldn't like to take them out back and beat the tar out of them, right? I'm just that kind of guy. You guys ain't that way. You're probably really nice. I'm that kind of guy. I grew up with 5 brothers. I was the smallest. You do the math. A lot of stuff going on. You know what I'm saying? You learn to get mean and get mean, right? You did, right? But and the Lord gets a hold of you and says, "You can't act like that, Matt. But I'd like to." Then I have to confess that as a sin. Tell the Lord He's still in control. No matter how bad my life seems to be, still in control. and he's doing his thing. Isn't that great? Huh? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's deepest within me. Bless His holy name. Wow. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all His benefits. Verse 3, who forgives every one of all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Does that sound like somebody who loves you? Doesn't that sound like somebody who really cares about you? Doesn't that sound like somebody who wants to be involved in your life? Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth? I like the Amplified, it says, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation. Because it changes with age, right? With good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagles, strong, overcoming, soaring. Huh? Do you feel that way? When you're in the middle of a trial, do you feel like you're soaring? Guy this week says, yeah, we're a bunch of eagles flying around with buzzards. And it's true. Flying around with a bunch of buzzards. Verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice, not only for me only, but for all who are oppressed. What's that say? When you're oppressed, it says God executes righteousness and justice. He made known His ways of righteousness and justice to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, and loving kindness. He will not always chide or be contending. Neither will He keep His anger forever or hold a grudge. He has not dealt with us after our sins. Boy, praise the Lord for that, huh? He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great are His mercy and loving kindness towards those who reverently and worshipfully fear Him. Isn't it a good thing we don't get what we deserve? Yeah. Because when you have them thoughts, You know, I'm going to read on here because I want you to see this. Yeah. He's not dealt with us according to our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities, for as high as the heavens are above the earth. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us, as a father loves and pities his children, so the Lord loves and pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers and imprints it on His heart that we are dust. God knows you intricately. He knows you better, I think, than you know yourself. I think God knows we're but dirt. We're going to go back to the dirt. We look at our life and we think, you know, this is a long time. You live to be 60, 70, 80, 100 years? That's a long time to be around here, isn't it? A long time. But you know, 100 years is not even the first second of eternity. The things that we're suffering in this life. I run into people that have never had much trouble in their life. Okay? So when one little problem sparks up, dude, it's nothing. What are you talking about? I mean, if you know people, I don't want to pick on. I had 4 children, so I mean, you know, I realized that when they're 15, 16, 17 years old, everything is like life and death. It is. I mean, you know, it's like they're going to die. This is life or death. But you know, as you grow older, you look back, that's just nothing. You know, it's not. And it's the same in our life. If you don't have any problems in your life, when the first little thing comes upon you, it's going to take you out. When you have all these problems come on you, and after a while, and you're talking to people about God's Word, say, I'm going to stand on it and think, the Lord's going to put you in a situation where you're going to have to stand on it. You're going to have to. you're going to have to live what you're saying, right? You're going to have to walk that walk that you've been talking the talk, right? You're going to have to live it. And you're going to have to like it, right? Wow. And I thought, why does God do that to us? Ever wonder why? Ever ask that question? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I mean, we have all these problems come in our life. It makes us stronger. It does. It makes you stronger. It makes you rely on Him more. Yeah. It makes you get into this book a little bit more. Huh? Talking about reading and memorizing Scripture. When something comes on you, if I didn't have a verse in the Scripture in my head that says, no weapon formed against me will prosper, I wouldn't be able to say that out there, could I? You're formed in God's image. You were made after the likeness of God. That's what He says. So when He spoke the worlds into existence, when I take a verse of Scripture and I speak it over my life, Well, man, you sure that works? Yes. I wouldn't be standing here today if it didn't. I wouldn't be talking to you today if it didn't. I wouldn't be here, right? I might be somewhere else. You never know what I might be doing, right? So you say, well, if God's in charge of everything, and it's all under His control, why do we pray? He's going to do what He wants to anyway. Why do you pray? I think sometimes the Lord has it in His mind what He's going to do, but I think sometimes He likes to hear the word daddy. He says, Dad, Father, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And we're going to look at some different verses. I had some scriptures written down. I'm going to mess with Alan pretty bad up here this morning. But let's go all the way back to Hebrews. We're going to start all the way to Hebrews. I want you to see a couple things here. Hebrews chapter 12. We have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is who He said He was. When we look at the Easter story, we look at a man. He was a man. He was God. He was a man. He was betrayed by His closest friends. He was... I don't even know the guy by his closest friend. Rejected. He was spit upon. He was beaten. He was beaten to the point where you couldn't tell what he looked like. Pretty bad. The crown of thorns smashed onto his head. Bled from that. And he was made to carry his own cross. And they nailed him to that cross. And then they left him there to die. And his father, who was holy, couldn't look upon sin, had to turn his face from his precious one and only son. He had been rejected by his father because he had to take sin upon himself, you and me. Wow. You know, if I would have been Jesus, I'd have said, this is stupid. I'm done. You ever come to that point in your life when you have so many things coming against you, you think, I'm just about done. Ever been there? Jesus said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And then He gave up His own spirit. He said, it is finished. He had done all the work. He had paid the price for you and I that we could spend eternity with Him. He suffered all of that for me. And I look at my trivial little problem and I think, ain't much, is it? Not compared to what He went through. We say, man, He was God. Yes, He was. He was still a man. When I think about that, wow. Hebrews 12:1 says, I got to read you this. Hebrews chapter 11 is what they call the faith chapter. It talks about a lot of people in the Old Testament who, by faith, did a lot of things. But I don't think we read the rest of this. I'm going to read you just a little bit out of chapter 11 here. I'll start in verse 35. It says, women received again their dead by a resurrection. Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept, be released, so that they might be resurrected to a better life. Others had to suffer the trial of mocking and scourging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were lured with tempting offers to renounce their faith. They were sawn asunder. They were slaughtered by the sword. While they were alive, they had to go about wrapped in the skins of sheep, goats, utterly destitute, oppressed, cruelly treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, roaming over the desolate places and the mountains, and living in caves and caverns as holes in the earth. And all of these, though they won divine approval by means of their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised. You hear what those people had to endure? Beat with clubs, they were stoned. I never seen anybody sawn in half by a saw, but I bet that'd be kind of painful, wouldn't you think? Seemed like it would be. And they didn't do it real slow either, or do it fast. They did it real slow. They burned people alive at the stake. Slowly. They cooked you slowly. For one reason only, because they would not renounce their faith. Wow. I haven't had to suffer that yet, have you? Not yet. May have to someday, I don't know. Will I be able to stand up for that? Don't know. Verse 40 says, because God had us in mind, had something better and greater in view for us, so that they, these heroes and heroines of the faith, should not come to perfection apart from us before we could join them. Chapter 12 says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, all those weights and sin which so readily cling to us, entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race which was set before us. Looking away, verse 2, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. That's an interesting little statement there. The problem we have as human beings is we start looking at our problems. You ever had that? Pretty good sized mountain there. That's a big one, God. I don't know. Because I don't. And then we think, well, I don't know. I feel really bad about that. You know, I don't feel very good today. I think I might just stay home. I feel sick. I don't really want to confront those people anymore. I'm getting tired of it. I'm getting sick and tired of dealing with those idiots. And then the Lord does His little thing and He says, you know what? Get off of your pity pot, quit being a wimp, and do something. Get up. Do something. You think, all right, I will. I'm here to tell you to keep on keeping on. It's like, really? I got this stuck in my head all day long. All day. Huh? All day. You think, really, God? Really? This is how you go? You think it's funny, don't you? I'm thinking, he thinks it's funny. Huh? Then look at the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 20. What's it say? It says, go baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, and all power has been given to me. He says, behold, I am with you always. What? You mean when I'm out doing my thing, and I'm out working, and I'm out driving, and I'm out doing my thing? He says, I'm with you always. Really? It sure don't feel like it today, God. Huh? It don't feel like it. Huh? And he says, you know what? I still am. I still love you. Even unto the end of the age. Even when it comes down to the very second of the end, I'm with you. So we have to get our minds focused on Jesus. And when you start thinking about all He suffered, I just talked about it just a little bit. When you start thinking about that, it's like, you know, He put up with a lot. And He had the power to get out of it. All He had to do was say something. Can you imagine? I picture him. I mean, we can't imagine, can we? We don't. We don't have him. But, I mean, I imagine like Superman, okay? You know, nothing bothering you. And I can imagine him trying to do something, and he's like, it ain't going to hurt. Ah! You know what I'm saying? I mean, could you imagine? God could do that, right? He's God. Nothing could hurt him. Try to stick him with a spear and to bust the spear. I mean, I can see all this happening, right? But he didn't. Even though he had that power. Because you know what? He was looking down through the ages at you. What? He was looking right at you. Sitting here today saying, you know what? I'm going to die for them, Father. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to pay the sin debt. I'm going to do it all for them. Wow. If they can spend eternity with us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? When you start looking at all the things that we suffer in this life, it's a lot. We do suffer a lot of things in this life. A lot of things come against us. We get beat up by a lot of stuff. We have physical problems, get older. Have any physical problems? When you're young, enjoy it, okay? I'm just telling you. Because you get older, then stuff don't work the way it used to, right? It don't work the way it used to, huh? A lot of people, yeah. It don't work the way it used to, right? Huh? And we think, man. You know what? God's still with you. He is. So what am I trying to say? In all the trials and troubles that happens to us, and all the beatings you take, and all the abuse you put up with, and all the stuff that you suffer, do you know that there's people who have a lot worse than you? You know, there's thousands, not hundreds, there are thousands of people killed every year because of their faith. Because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've never suffered that here in the United States. Never have. But around the world, people are killed every day because they say, I'm a Christian. And I believe in God. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I'm going to heaven. You can kill this old body, but that's all you can do to me. Huh? Phew. What'd it feel like to stand in that situation? We got it pretty good here in the United States. We really do. As Christians, we do. Got really good. Yeah, a lot of junk. And I do think some of the persecution, and I think, well, count of joy when you're persecuted for Christ's sake. That's hard to do, guys. Try it sometime. When you know you're persecuted because you are a Christian, and because you don't cuss like they do, because you don't act like they do, and you don't talk like they do, and you're not like them, you're different. And they don't like you just because you are different. Yeah. And that's okay. Because I may be the only Bible they ever get to see. You may be the only Word of God that they ever get to see. And maybe, just maybe, in the Lord's grace, His mercy towards that person, He might turn their hearts to Him because of what you've done, what you've suffered. Wow. A lot in it. This life has got a lot of good stuff in it. And I enjoy life. I really, really do. It's got a lot of bad stuff too. But we have to look to Jesus from all that will distract, the Amplified says. Got a lot of distractions in your life? Yeah. From all that will distract, listen to this. Who's the leader and the source of our faith? A lot of them say he's the author. Christ wrote the book on your faith. And it's also its finisher. The Amplified brings it to maturity and perfection. Your faith is so precious to God, He's going to try it by fire. He's going to try you by fire to prove you and to see how awesome your faith in Him can be. You can stand up under trials. You can stand up under tribulation. You can take it knowing that He wrote the book on it. He finished it. My faith, so God said, you know, that's a big old mountain over there, God. Why don't you start climbing? What? The Red Sea. I mean, this is a big body of water. Why don't you just part that thing and I'll walk through? Maybe you should start swimming. Huh? Sometimes that's what God tells you. When there's a mountain, he says, you better just start climbing. All right. We'll climb to the top. We're going all the way to the top. Ain't going to give up. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on keeping on because I know in the end, I got a place I'm going. I hope you guys know you're going there. I got a place I'm going. I know I'm going to see my Lord, my Savior, my God. I'm going to meet Him face to face. Huh? And see, all that He did for me. Wow. All that He did. This little piddly time we have here on earth, I don't think we're even going to remember. Nah. We're going to remember who our Lord and Savior. We're going to see Him face to face. We're going to spend eternity with Him. I don't think we're going to be floating around on clouds eating cream cheese either. You know what I'm saying? I think it's going to be an awesome time. I think it's going to be a praise and worship time. That's going to be such a time you cannot even think about. After 10,000 years, you think, man, it only feels like the first second has been going. Huh? It's going to be such an awesome time. This time will mean no more. Only His presence. I'm going to shut up. The Lord told me to quit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we need to get our focus off of everything that distracts us and turn it to You. We need to look at our Lord and our Savior, our God, the One who paid the ultimate, awesome price, paid the price for every one of us, Father. We thank You for that, Father. That's not even good enough words. We don't understand what it cost You, Father. We look at the physical, the abuse that You took. You were more than able. You were capable of putting an end to that at any time. And all You did, Father, was look at us. Father, if we could do the same, we're in the middle of our trials. We're in the middle of our tribulations. And we're in the middle of our trouble. We just look at You, knowing that You're God, and You are with us always. Your strength, Your power, and Your indwelling Spirit is with us. We praise You, we thank You. Father, I pray that this falls on open ears, open hearts, and the trials we suffer in this life, nothing compared to what it's going to be like to be in eternity in heaven with You. We praise You. We love You. We thank You for the word, Father. In precious name we pray. Amen. This is the time we offer every Sunday for prayer request, prayer need. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we would love to have you tell us that.